I've been wrestling a little bit this week about what I wanted to speak to you this morning. Not necessarily in conflict. I have the full sermon in our Nehemiah series prepared, and I will be sharing that with you, and I'm excited about it, and my heart is excited about it right now, but in the last week or so, God's been kind of taking me through a journey, and even as we are taking that moment of silence, I just want to kind of take you into some of the journey that I've been on in just this last week. It's kind of crazy how God speaks to you personally, and so I'm just going to let you into a little bit of my walk with God and some of the things that God's been teaching me in the last week. Is that all right? Can I call an audible here this morning? Is that all right? Don't worry, you'll get the full sermon series. We're so blessed. Again, I was just, I don't know about you, I was so blessed by those interviews. And next week we get to hear Peter and Patricia DeWitt share their ministry as they begin, they're transitioning from Paris to Thailand. And I'm excited to have them. They're going to be here. He's going to be sharing. They're going to be sharing with us. So you will not want to miss it. But the week after that, I'm going to pick up the Nehemiah series and we're going to work our way through this heading into the Christmas season. Whew. That just hit me when I said Christmas season. We're here now, aren't we? We're here. But God is good, and God has been speaking to me about disciplines, about solitude and silence. And I'm so excited that we have a new in-home Bible study at the Bodocks, and they're doing a study on this book called Practicing the Way that was produced by John Mark Comer. And I've read this book, and it's changed. I'm telling you, it's changed. I've been a Christian for 40-something years. Like, I don't remember not being a Christian. I know I've said that before. And I've been working on my relationship with God my entire life. And even this book, as simple and as just foundational as it is, has challenged me to change how I look at my way of life with Jesus. He calls it a rule of life, but it has been so moving to me as a mature believer in Christ and challenged my status quo and how I've been doing things. Just for instance, I'll give you an example, and I'm going to read a scripture this morning to go with this in just a moment, but since I've come back, so when we went on vacation, our vacation was really surrounded around silence, solitude. We went to a cabin in the woods. The only other participant in at the cabin was blue jays outside and squirrels and the roaring fire in the living room, which was fantastic. But I'm a little fluffy, so I get a little warm sometimes, but it was all right. But we enjoyed it, and it was solitude. And I'm going to tell you, I love solitude, but I've always loved the measure of a man with solitude. And by Thursday, I was starting to get a little stir crazy. And I began to get a little convicted about it. And God began to speak to me and say, you know what? No, there's still more quiet I need with you. And so I started, okay, so what disciplines have I been lacking in? What have I not been paying attention to? And he kept coming back to just be quiet. So I'd get up in the mornings and I would take my Bible and I would take a book and I would go and I would read and I would study and I enjoyed and just begin to take into solitude. So when I came home, I was so convicted, I said, I got to make some changes in my life. So as many of you know, like some of you know, that I generally like to come into office really early, you know, beat the traffic and everything. And I found that doing that, I would come in and I would have my quiet time at 7 in the morning and it was great and everything. But then I noticed that after I would finish my quiet time with God, just a quiet time, I used to take a disciplined amount of time to read and to just to fill my soul with reading. And then I began to notice that I began to negotiate that time away. And I never really ever got convicted for it, but when you come into your office, it's your workplace, the computer's there, you know what you got to get done in that day, you know, it's difficult. And I began to negotiate this additional study time away. And so coming back from our time away, I decided that the first couple hours of my morning, I still get up very early, my first couple of more hours before my kids wake up and before our family, before I even walk my dog, I wake up and I go downstairs and I turn on a lamp and I sit in my home and I guard that time. And there's a portion of that time where I just sit and I train myself in the quiet. to get used to the quiet, to love the quiet, and to listen for the voice of God. Psalm 46, I said to my wife, I said, people have always asked me what my favorite verse is in Scripture. And I'm like, how in the world can you pick? I have a few that are just life verses that just stick around with me, and I can repeat them ad verbatim, and they just seem to come up so much in my life. But I have to say, I think my favorite verse is found here in Psalm 46. And I just want to read it for you. I think it's going to be on the screen. I threw a curveball at our team this morning and got them to, and they stepped up. So we have an amazing media team. You have to know that. If you know what they do and how much they do behind the scenes, so thankful for our team. It says in Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and the foam and the mountains quake and they're surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May God bless the reading of his word. It's kind of funny, like, I've been on this process as I talked to you, and it started kind of with practicing the way book and getting back to the disciplines, and then I made these choices, and I felt a difference, such a difference. Like, it was just a simple little adjustment for me to make in my own as a practicing way. It says rule of life, way of life, the organization and how I want to spend my time with God and how I live my daily life with Jesus. Because it is a practice. It is not just a Sunday morning when you come. It is an everyday practice. And one thing I love about practicing the way, he focuses on the fact that we enter into an apprenticeship with Jesus, a discipleship with Jesus. It is an everyday thing. And, you know, Andrew made these adjustments and felt the effects of my life. And then I come here yesterday morning on Saturday with the Youth for Christ in Sri Lanka and had some amazing food and got to listen to some amazing speakers. And the former head of Youth for Christ, I think his name is Ajit. I'm not sure. I think that's his name. He spoke, and he spoke about silence and solitude, and he quoted this verse, and I'm like, all right, I get it, God. I get it. And he's been speaking to me in such a prophetic way, and I hope that this is a little prophetic for you this morning as well, to speak into your life. And when I say that in the New Testament understanding, I hope this is edifying, this is encouraging, and this is bringing comfort to your heart. And in a way, I hope it gives you permission to find some solitude, to learn to love the quiet, to learn to love the silence. I know even some of you right now are squirming in your seat already. Like, I got squirmy by Thursday after going away for a week. And some of y'all, you know, I know by Tuesday, you're like, whoa, I can't sit still this long. But we need to find a way to quiet. And as I read through this passage, I'm looking at all the things it says about God in this passage in Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge. He is our refuge. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It says, God is within her. God will help her. He lifts his voice. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done. He goes on, he says, he makes war cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. At the end again, it says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The only thing that it says that is required of us, it says in verse 10, He says, be still and know that I am God. See, he does the work. So even for you right now, something might be raging in your spirit. You may feel anxiety. You may feel pressure from somewhere. You may feel like you can't slow your life down, that you're just busy, and you may feel like there's things pressing. You may be feeling some kind of resistance, which I'm going to be talking about from Nehemiah in a couple weeks. You may be feeling like there's pressure to do this or pressure to do that, and you're like, I got so much going on, I can't take any more quiet, I can't take any more silence. And God says that he calms the storm. He does that. He says that he is your refuge. He is your ever-present help in time of trouble. He is the one who does everything. He calms the storms. He does everything, and he requires one thing. He requires one thing from us, is to be still and know that I am God. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything else. You are my one thing. I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I really can't feel that for me until I quiet myself and I really listen and I say these words to God in the quiet. And right now when I get up, it's pitch black. I turn the lamp on and I sit under the lamp and I begin to speak to God and I feel that he is my one thing. He is my one thing. So here's a challenge, because we're coming up on Christmas season, right? Some of you all are already frustrated with the traffic. Some of you all have already been in malls and you've already wanted, you've planned assaults on people in your mind. You haven't exercised those. You haven't acted on them. I hope you haven't acted on them. But it's going to get busier, right? It's going to get frustrating. The whole world is going to tell you to focus on everything else but Jesus. The whole world is going to tell you to not stop and be still and know. And so make a plan this Christmas season. Make a plan in your families, in your homes, to be still somehow. To still make plan times of stillness. We plan every Christmas morning a time of stillness where when we wake up in the morning and our kids are so excited and they're just, sometimes they get so frustrated with us, but we quiet down, we read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2, and we pray and we invite Jesus Christ into our process, into everything that we do. And you may need to do that in more different times, you know, like make a plan to be still this season and know. There may be all kinds of things going on in your life, maybe all kinds of craziness going on, but just stop. Find a way. I'm telling you, I say these things, and sometimes people think it's, I'm the pastor, they think it's easy to make changes in your life. No, it's not easy. I've been a little bit antsy all week because I get up, I'm normally in the office at 7 o'clock, and I'm not getting there now until 9:15 to 9:30, and I'm just like, my wife can tell you, I'm fidgety. By the time that quiet time is settling in and I need it and it's made a remarkable change in my focus and in my life just this one short week. But by 9 o'clock, if I'm still in the car and now we're in traffic that I'm not normally in at 6:30, you know, there's things, but I cannot tell you this little switch, this little adjustment I've made in my rule of life with Jesus, in my walk with Jesus. I cannot tell you the peace that it's brought, the joy that it's brought, just a little adjustment. And it's not like I wasn't spending time with Jesus before. It's a small adjustment. So be willing to do these things. Understand that when you decide what you're doing with your life and how you're doing with your life and how you want to spend your time with Jesus, it's okay to make adjustments. You know, one thing I admired about the pastor who spoke yesterday, he says, you know, I've been a Christian for 46 years, he said. I'm pretty sure that, no, he might have said 60 years. I can't remember. A long time anyway. And he says, you know what, my time, he says, my disciplines are still not easy. They don't come natural to me. And I relate to that. It's not natural for me to sit and be quiet, but it's become something that I know that I need. And, you know, even this morning, as I got up this morning again, you know, it's funny how it is, the word begins to work prophetically in your life. And I got to Luke chapter 4, the last part, I think it's verse 42, when it talks about, again, how Jesus got away from the crowds and went to a quiet place of solitude. And I don't want to be the person in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus comes back and says, you cannot wait with me 1 hour. I would not negotiate that hour away from my life for anything right now. So I'm encouraging you. We are approaching the Christmas season. We're approaching budget time as a church, and we need your prayers. We're approaching busyness. We're approaching a lot of different things. Make a plan this season. Have moments of stillness to contemplate the love of Jesus Christ in your life and to sit and to ask him the honest question, which is so difficult sometimes, and say, God, what do you require of me? What do I need to change in my life? And you know what? Take time to just sit and experience him. Be with him. We call this a relationship, but I tell you, the hardest thing for me to do sometimes is just to sit. And I know it's going to be hard for you to believe, but sometimes it's hard for me to sit and cry. I know I'm an emotional guy, but to sit in the quiet and you're like looking at yourself, oh man, I hope nobody, it's like 5:30 in the morning, you're like, I hope nobody can see me. Yeah, I'm actually in the chair looking around. I'm like, who's looking at me, the dog? Nobody cares that I'm crying, but it's still hard to sit and just be quiet and feel him tell me my worth. When is the last time you sat and let Jesus tell you what he feels about you? To experience the love of Jesus Christ for you. So I know that's kind of a little bit of a different teaching this morning, a little bit of a different share with you for you this morning. But I wanted to give you an opportunity, and we're going to sing, call the worship band back, and I want to sing that song, I Don't Want Anything Else, I Don't Want Anything Else, Jesus, You Are My One Thing. I want us to sing that song again this morning before we leave, if we could. And just take some time. And I'm not telling you to make a plan for your life for Christmas here this morning, but God may bring up some things in your life that you need to move out of the way so you can create space for him. He may speak to your heart, and you may be in a dry spell. I don't know if you've ever been like that. I've been there before where you felt like, man, I can't remember the last time I've sensed the presence of Jesus. Well, this may be the moment where that breakthrough comes for you and you quiet yourself. Some of you may want to sing and raise your hands at the top of your lungs. Some of you may want to sit there, stand there, and just wait on Jesus. And some of you, you know, may want to stay seated. I don't know. But let's just open our heart to what God wants to speak to our heart today. And let's just sing these words. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything else. You are my one thing. Jesus, going into Christmas season, I want everybody around me to know that you are my reason. You are the reason that I celebrate this season. It's not because I'm going to get this fancy gift that I've been waiting for all year. It's not going to be because of a special party I have planned that I do every year that I look forward to. The reason I'm going to celebrate this year, the reason I'm going to give Christmas its focus is because many years ago, you came to this earth as a baby in a manger. And that newborn life, the preparation for that newborn life was to one day to grow and to be sacrificed for me. I don't like to think about the sacrifice of Jesus and the baby in the manger at the same time because it's a lot. But I think it's important when we think about the baby in the manger to think about the sacrifice. That even when he was there, the Father knew what was planned. was breaking his heart already. And he was planning this so that our relationship could be restored and that we could spend as much time as we want in the presence of God with the Holy Spirit ministering to us. And it's so valuable. So valuable. So let's just sing this song together. Want to take a quiet time of reflection? You can do that. If you want to worship with all your heart and sing to the top of your lungs, we can do that. If you want to come and spend some time here and say, Jesus, I just want to meet with you, you can come and do that. If you want me to pray with you, I can come and pray with you. There's people here that can do that. But let's just take a few moments before we leave here this morning and give God glory. Amen.